That last song kind of goes with something I think the Lord's going to have me talk about here tonight. Why don't you turn to John chapter 12? As many of you know, if not all of you who are listening out there, I've just come back from a rather lengthy trip. I was able to go out and visit the brethren in Georgia, in South Carolina, Maryland, saw John there, and Miss Sandy, and was also able to go up to Connecticut and spend some time with Scott and Gail, and also in Vermont. So been around a few different places. I actually got back last night, which was a day early, praise God. I was exhausted. But today, I'm not exhausted. I got a good night's rest last night, and Lord's renewed my strength, and I'm just thanking him. During the course of the day today, while I've been back, I've had the opportunity to share with some of the folks here, as I have shared with folks on the road, kind of the vision the Lord's been giving me of where, how we're going to move forward in this ministry. And when I say how we're going to move forward, I don't mean like people talking about all the time, we got to move forward, we got to move forward. I'm talking about specific things the Lord is going to have us do to take that word which he has given to us and spread it all around. Spread it all around. To actually see that word that the Lord has given to us spread far and wide. And I don't mean in some small dark corner place. I mean right out there front and center where people are not going to be able to avoid it. They're going to come into contact with it. They're going to see it. And as they see it, lives will be changed. Now, we've talked over the last number of weeks and the like, and at different times, we've gone through John 17, talked about those that believe on him, that is on Jesus through their word, that he prayed that we would be one with him, just as he was one with his Father, and that he would be one with us, and that people would therefore know, not wonder, people would know that indeed God sent Jesus and that the gospel is true. So I'm going to take a verse over here, a little different angle than we've talked about it before. Verse 32 of John chapter 12. And, you know, I encourage you to go ahead and read John chapter 12 in its fullness. It's a wonderful chapter with many different things. And one of the verses that it has that's going to relate to what we're talking about, which is verse 25, I'm just going to read for a moment verse 25 and 26 and then skip down to 32. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, skip over to verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We have a song we sing that way. In fact, didn't you just sing in the medley you sang? Didn't you have it in there? Maybe not. I'm trying to remember. But one of the songs we sing talks about lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. See, one of the things to see, and there's a relationship between the verses I just read and what I'm talking about seeing coming to pass in this fellowship. All right? Jesus in verse 32, and he said, and I, if I, will draw all men unto me. He's speaking there specifically about what type of death he was going to experience, which was his death on the cross. The reason why he had to die on a cross and there was no other way that he could die is because cursed is anything that hangeth on a tree. And so Jesus, when he got up on that cross, became a cursed thing. He became a cursed thing that he could break the curse for us. Willingly became a cursed thing. And because of that, he was able to break the curse for us. And all of us can be set free from the curse. Now, the verse I read earlier about, you know, if any man, how was it? It said, If any man, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it on life eternal. There's another place where the same thing's spoken of, and it talks about, let him take up his cross and follow me. Is the cross something you'd want to carry if you're going to be crucified? Probably not. You might carry a cross to signify Christ, don't get me wrong. That's a completely different story than carrying it and nail you to it. And we've heard talk of the fact that that cross that we carry, that instrument of death, this body, this natural man, what does it say? The wages of sin are death. That's what the scripture teaches. That's why every man dies. Don't you? How many times do I listen to you guys and even Paul the apostle saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, right? Isn't that what Paul said? And how often do I hear folks talk about the fact that they wish they could just be done with this thing? They could just be done with this thing. I wish it was gone. All right. Well, the scripture talks about instead how we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, we deny our flesh and its lusts and choose rather to serve the Lord. Now, we got to carry this sucker around with us, not willingly, but you know what happens when we carry it around with us? Is all of a sudden the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way in which we're saved is evident to all sinners everywhere. Because we're no different than the people we're ministering to. And you know what else it does? Paul talked about it. You know, we have this glory in earthly vessels that the glory may be to God and not to us. It's another important element. It keeps us humble. It keeps us humble having this thing we got to drag around that we don't like. You know, another thing it does is it causes us to fight, not against God, fight for God, to believe him and to stand forth in his promises contrary to this. And you know what that prepares us for? Life eternal. Because if we can serve him in this, when we have to drag this thing around, which is constantly contrary to us, we get this thing put off when we go to be with him in heaven. And while we will still have a free will and therefore be able to fall even after we go to heaven, we won't have this sucker anymore, and we will be practiced in the art of denying stupidity. Practiced in the art of denying stupidity and everything that's contrary to God. So all of these things serve a very useful purpose. Now, Jesus says over here in 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, we talked how that is about his death on the cross, but there's another side to this I wanted to show you. When Jesus is lifted up in your life, where he is number one indisputed champion of your life, where nothing compares to him in your life, where the only thing that matters to you is him in your life, that's all that matters. You know what happens? Jesus is lifted up from the earth. And you know what he does? He draws men unto you. You want to have a robust ministry? You don't have to go traveling all around. You don't have to leave where you are. You don't have to do any of those things. All you have to do to robust ministry in which you're ministering continuously is lift Jesus up. May all the glory go to him. May all the credit go to him. Every work that's being done in your life be his. May every word out of your mouth be his. May everything about you be about him. And you know what will happen? First of all, people will know that Jesus is real. And the Lord will bring them unto you because you'll be able to show them. Not tell them. You'll be able to show them that he is real. That's the ministry of a Christian. That's it. And see, if you look and you look and you see that in your life, you don't see that robust ministry. It's very simple. Why? Jesus isn't first in your life. He's not everything to you. So you know what? The beauty of that is That's a simple thing that you can change. You don't need anybody else to do anything for you to change that. You can just choose that yourself, which is wonderful. It's wonderful. Can you imagine if you had to wait on somebody else in order for that to be the case? You'd be waiting forever. But you don't have to. You don't have to. But you do have to give up your life. You do have to give up your life in its entirety. Nothing lacking. No aspect of your life that you hold on to. Every aspect of your life you've given over to Him. You want Him to inhabit it all? You want Him to be the one who is doing it all? And in that place, you get to partake of a new life ordinary. Now, what the Lord's given me here as a vision, I went out and traveled around, and I come back here. You know what I see? I see people have problems. I mean, go figure. I don't know why that's the case. Everywhere I went, I saw problems. People with problems. Christians with problems. Lots of problems, in fact, a lot of times. I mean, a lot of different problems. Sometimes it get me a little down, seeing all the problems. Sometimes it make me think that, oh my God, Lord, what do you have me out here for? What's the use? But let me tell you something. If it was about me, there'd be no hope for us. No hope for any of us. Even leaving aside those things I'm discussing there and just say I was the perfect optimist, that no matter what problem you had, I was the perfect optimist that it was going to work out. I can tell you, there'd still be no hope because that would be a whole fake, false thing. That wouldn't be true. Wouldn't be rooted in truth. But you know what's the amazing thing? Is praise God, it's about Jesus. Praise God that His grace, it says where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth more. Praise God when He's got you dead to rights, guilty. Guilty. Absolutely no wiggle room based. All of your different excuses and everything that you throw out, you come to the realization that none of them hold any water, which is hard for people in my experience. We usually like to find excuses that, you know, hold water. We think they do, right? It's my brother's fault. It's that person's fault. You just don't understand any of a number of different things, right? Isn't that how we are? Well, that's all resisting the reproof of the word. You know, it's funny. I forget where it is in Timothy. I think it talks about how the word is profitable for reproof, right? For instruction, in righteousness. It's in Timothy. Maybe one of you guys can find it for me while I'm up here trying to find it. You can show it to me. But that's the thing. So, you know, that's what the word does. It's profitable for reproof. Now, my experience with human beings, well, I won't call them human beings, I'm going to call it with people. My experience with man, and when I say it, I mean it in the same way God meant, male and female created He them, okay? So man, okay? My experience with man is that reproof and man do not go very well together. Man does not like reproof. Let's see, where is it? It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Oh, watch this. We'll read 16 and 17. Woohoo! Wait, because 17 is very hopeful. Look at this. All scripture. Wait a second. He can't mean that. You mean that whole part of them going in and destroying all the people in the land of Canaan? You mean that thing where the guy, after vowing a vow, ended up sacrificing his daughter? You mean that whole thing that went down with Nebuchadnezzar and those guys? All of this stuff is, what did it say? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? No, I mean, there's only certain things that are profitable in there, right? Those are the things we like. It's kind of like I was thinking, because, you know, I went down and I saw Jenna and Nolan, and they are accustomed to eating only that which they like. And, of course, they're now learning to eat good food, whether they like it or not. And they've been doing pretty well, praise God. It's been a learning experience for them. I have four children, too. And you know what? I was once a child. You know, when I was a child, you know what food I wanted? The food I liked. Did I want the stuff I didn't like? No. Mom used to say things like that. Well, that's good for you. So, I mean, what's the significance of that? I mean, whoop-de-doo. I mean, like, really? You think that's going to impress me, Mom? Come on. It's good for me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat it. Well, now I'm an adult, and like I said to Maggie when we were down there, when I was talking with Nolan, I said, Maggie, when you give me a serving for dinner, and I eat it all, when I go for seconds, what do I have on seconds? She said, well, you have some of everything again. I said, do you think I don't like certain things better than other things? Well, I know, I'm sure you do. I do like certain things better than other things. But you know why I eat some of everything every time? It's because I know everything on that plate is good for me. There's a reason why everything's on that plate. So I'm militant. I will eat it because I know it's good for me, even if I may not like it. Well, you know what? That's how you have to be with the Word of God. You have to be militant. All Scripture is given by inspiration, right? What did it say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, what that means is that the Scripture didn't come from man. You can't go, well, that's a man. You know, those are men who wrote that, and they were imperfect and the like. No, what this is saying is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, He's the author. Why do you think they tell secrets on themselves? I mean, wouldn't it have been great for David to just skip the whole thing with Bathsheba and Uriah? I mean, if I was writing the Scripture and I was going to be a part of it, I'd want to be the hero of my own story, right? I wouldn't want to go through and describe that, oh, yeah, man, I saw this hot babe when the other guys were out fighting. I said, hey, go get her. And then I got her, and then she was pregnant, and her husband was away. Now I got to figure out how do I cover this up. So David tells us the whole story, so I thought I had to cover this up. So I sent for her husband to come back from the war, tried to get him to go in under her. He wouldn't do it, so he left me with no choice. I had to kill the guy. Made sense, right? If you're trying to cover it up, makes perfect sense. Well, David did all that, and then you know what he does? He writes about it. He gets a loathsome disease in his loins. You know what that's called? Probably a sexually transmitted disease. A loathsome disease in his loins. Who wants to tell everybody you got a loathsome disease in your loins? I mean, give me a break. Who? Who's volunteering for that disclosure? Right? I mean, look, Paul arguing with the Holy Spirit every which way he went on his way to New Jerusalem when he wasn't supposed to go there. What has happened? Well, Luke recorded it all accurately. Who did Luke get it from? From Paul. Oh, yeah, I was dumb. I was stupid. Yep, nope, that's exact. No, that's not quite as bad as it. That's not quite as bad as it was. You need to tell him that the Lord himself appeared to me and told me to get out, and I still argued with him. You follow what I'm saying? The Scripture was given by inspiration of God. Every element of that was shown for our profit. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know, doctrine's that little thing that, you know, if you want to think of it like as a child, if we went up to the ball fields, remember the ball fields down in Northfield Falls? You remember them too, probably. When I take my children up there, and the ball fields could be used for multiple different purposes. They would sometimes have little soccer things going on up there. They would have baseball games going on up there. They'd have different things. And you know what? If you want to think of it is like when you had a baseball game, what you had is you had doctrine. The pitcher's mound's this far from home plate. Home plate's this far from first base. That's that far from second base. You got to hit it inside the foul lines. Three strikes, you're out. All of these things. Doctrine is those things that come down to us that tell us how we're to play the game or to live our life in accordance with this word. All right? So that's what doctrine is. So the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Not only does it give us, lay out the different points for us to follow, it then gives us case story after case story after case story. So we think, my sin's just too bad and people don't understand. Well, oh my God, have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read the characters in the Bible? I mean, you tell me the character in the Bible there that somebody somewhere in there has not suffered what you are going through. I mean, it's got the full everything. I've been sick for 12 years with an issue of blood. I lost all my money on the physicians. Touched the hem of his garment, healed. Woman taken in adultery. Guy is a murderer. Couple of them. Great men of God. Moses, David, Paul. Because isn't murder just the killing of an innocent person? When Paul was out there doing that to Christians, were they guilty of anything warranting death? Doesn't matter if he had papers and stuff like that saying it was okay. Didn't make it just like any other thing. Just because you got a badge that says you're a police officer, it doesn't mean it's not murder if you do wrong. I'm not saying if a police officer shoots somebody, it's murder. But there are police officers who've committed murder under the guise of being under their authority and gotten away with it. There's both. God knows the difference, even if man out here can't figure it out. And men have to live with their own consciences. And the fact of the matter is, just like Corrie Ten Boom reached across to the guy who was the prison guard at her Nazi concentration camp and forgave him, so there's nothing that cannot be forgiven and bring peace between people who should hate one another. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Yeah, I knew that word was in there somewhere, reproof, which basically means correction. In other words, you're doing the wrong thing. You read the scripture and you go, bummer, I did wrong. So you acknowledge it, you ask forgiveness, you change your behavior to accord with that which is right. Right? What's the big deal? Like we were singing some of these songs. I mean, do you listen to the songs? You know, lift Jesus higher. What was the one you sang? You said, I forget. Some of the ones we sang, you sing them. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know about you, but when I sing those songs, sometimes the words go into my mind, yeah, that would be nice if I did that. Sorry about that, Lord. You know why? I'm being reproved by the Word of God. Now, I don't sit there and dwell in, oh, no. I mean, because I was doing it just as you guys were singing, and I'm up here preaching. I couldn't be up here preaching if I sat there and, oh, no, another revelation of bad Steve. Another revelation of him doing wrong. It's all over. Can't get up there and preach. Can't do anything like that. Of course I can. My hope is not in good Steve, because there is no good Steve. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And the fact that he reproves me is a blessing, not something to be sad about. It's a blessing. Praise God. He doesn't let me sit there and stick around doing the wrong thing. That's a good thing. So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we had reproof and correction there. We'll just kind of keep them as kissing cousins. I won't go into both of them separately. But instruction in righteousness. You know, if you look at that teaching Davey did on a word about prayer, and it talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now we know that righteousness is a free gift of God that's imputed onto those that believe on him. Believing on him means you believe what this word says. When it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, yes and amen. And is profitable for doctrine, yes and amen. Doesn't matter if it's against you. Doesn't matter if it testifies against you. Doesn't matter if you like it. Doesn't matter if you don't like it. You cleave to it. Isn't that how you lift Jesus higher in your life? You cleave to him. You let everything else fall to the wayside. You give up your life. Instruction in righteousness, as Davey said in that teaching, he said the righteousness there that it's speaking of is not the righteousness of imputation. That is imputation. That's where God takes and puts his righteousness on you. It's that rather the strength that comes from doing as God says. See, when you're standing in the place doing as God says, God moves. See, this is why it's so important to know his ways. You know, David says, shew me thy ways. We sing the song. It's Psalm 25, I think it is. Shew me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait, in other words, serve all the day. So it's not sitting in a chair, sitting there watching the boob tube, sitting there playing a game. It's serving him all day long. Hmm. That's different. All right. But if you're going to, when you walk in God's ways, which is what the end of instruction in righteousness is you come to know his ways and you walk in them, the power of God is with you. Your prayers are powerful and they move things. Nations fall. Nations are raised up. People are saved by your word. Why? Because it's not yours, it's his. How did that happen? Because you've come to know him and walk in him. You've received the instruction in righteousness. And of course, this thing ran out again, but the next part here, love, fine, just open that for me again. I like the next verse because the next verse, okay, yeah, Bob's got it for me here too. It's, okay. So instruction in righteousness. Now watch verse 17, beauty, beautiful. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect. Who wants to be perfect? I got both hands up. That's why you don't hear me. I'd put my legs up, jump up and down, whatever. I want to be perfect. God said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Receive the instruction of righteousness. Let the word reprove you. Receive the correction you need. Know that the scripture is given by inspiration of God. Know that when God establishes a line of authority in his kingdom, he's the one who established it. He's the one who will work through it. You don't have to worry about the person that you see. You trust him. That's what you do. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And what happens then is that Christ is lifted up in your life. When Christ is lifted up in your life, God will draw men unto you. And when he starts drawing them all unto you, and 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 on down through, and you guys out there listening, you know what happens? All of a sudden, there's a lot of ministering going on. A whole lot of ministering going on. Now there's all of a sudden the people who are willing to accept the responsibility of faith, accept the responsibility to deliver the oracles of God to people, to speak the oracles of God rather than that which is of them. It's the oracles of God that change people's lives, not yours. Yours don't change anybody. They don't change anything. Well, they may change something, but not in a manner that's going to glorify God. You speak the oracles of God to people, things change. And that's what he wants all of us to partake of. That's what he wants us all to partake of. And that's what he's raising up. And when I went out there and I saw folks, and I know that the Lord is moving in and amongst the people that I saw. I know he's moving in and amongst the people. But I also know that there's work to be done. And he is the one doing it. I don't have to be there. It's a beautiful thing. This was a big one between Raul and I. I'm so sad you're leaving. I was crying all last night and stuff like that. I'm glad I wasn't there. I'd have given you a good reason to cry if I had been there. Because, look, I am Steve Atherton. I don't know about you guys, but what name is it? Under heaven, whereby men are to call on and are to be saved and everything. Is it the name of Steve Atherton? Do you see that anywhere? I never read that anywhere. And you're not going to find it anywhere. No, it's not going to be found. So just stop looking if you're looking for that verse. It's not there. But there is a guy by the name of Jesus who, when you ask him into your heart, you know who's with you? Jesus. Go figure. It's like I told Raul, you know, I said, hey, Raul, be a consulting chemist. I don't know. So God like throws him 16 different clients who want him to be a consulting chemist. I don't know what I should do, Steve. Do the proposals and get them out to them so they can hire you as a consulting chemist. Well, I've been waiting from God to hear. How much louder can he be? Well, you're going away. Right. Did I go out and round up those clients for you, Raul? Did I call and find out, hey, you know what? Let's see. Is there somebody over in Spain who might be able to use a dummy in Montpelier, Vermont by the name of Raul Sanchez as his consulting chemist? Hi, Raul, by the way. I know you might not be listening to it tonight because you might be asleep, but when you listen to it tomorrow, hi. But the fact of the matter is, did I do any of that? Absolutely not. Did I find the place in Ontario, Canada that called them? No. Did I give them the money? No. Did I say, you know what? I think you should call Raul Sanchez. No. Did I do any of that? No. I can say today, Raul, you got to give me a little attaboy here. I had a client call me and I thought, you know what? I think I know who can help him, which is pretty amazing that I thought of Raul Sanchez. And I actually called Raul and we talked about it. I really do think he can help him. That's even more amazing. Now, if we can just get the two of them to realize that Raul can help him, we'll see. We could have another client for him. And on that one, I had something to do with. I actually did. And I wasn't even in Vermont. Look at that. I was over here when that happened. Praise God. See? I mean, I just tell you this because, look, God is big. The issues, if all, any of this was up to us from this perspective, it's entirely up to us in that we have a free will. I can't make you exercise your free will in any way. You have to make your own choices that way. I cannot make those for you. But all you have to do is choose him. Believe him. The rest he will handle. It's an amazing thing. The entire work is done by him. I remember, just as a small example, when I used to sometimes wonder, Lord, what am I doing over here in Northfield Falls, Vermont, where there are more deer than there are people? Now I'm in a place where there's more, I don't know, a lot more jackrabbits and cottontails than there are people, probably more rattlesnakes than there are people. There's probably all kinds of things people don't want around here that there are more than people. And yet, you know what? No matter where I am, people are calling me and I'm talking, I'm busy and full all day long every day. And the Lord has me work with people all over the world from wherever I am. I mean, you've seen it. My wife's seen it. People know it. I mean, it's amazing to me. I sit there and I think, wow, I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you will lift him up and put him first, he will take wherever you are and he'll draw men unto you. That's why Davey, he never used to go chase people, did he, Ann? Davey never would go out and chase people. I mean, he'd go out and he'd minister as he went and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is, wherever Davey was, people would come. Is that what happens in your life? Where you are, do people come? If not, the whole reason comes down to you're not lifting Jesus up in your life. He's not number one. That doesn't mean he's not got his spots in your life where you give him the preeminence. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to say that there's nothing, but look, it's really all or nothing. There's no halfway. Halfway doesn't get it done. It's got to be all the way. It's got to be entire. When you give him your entire life, folks, well, first of all, that's when you'll find you're going to have a robust ministry. But let me just put something in. People's fear a lot of times is, well, if I do that, where will I be? Well, all you have to do is look at Davey and I, and as different as we are, he's passed, so he's up there, so he's way different than me now. He didn't have a sinful body anymore to slow him down or do anything like that. But we are as different as you can get. Our personalities are radically different. Everything about us is radically different, and yet the Lord used both of us. So don't tell me you're going to be lost, because if that were the case, well, Davey and I would have had to be exactly the same. We would have had to be exactly the same. He's going to use each of you, the soul and spirit that you have didn't come from mom and dad. They came from him. The body is diverse. It has many different functions. He has a way of using you as you are in manners that are extraordinary and beautiful. It's like I told Jim Cannon when I was there. I said, look, Jim, when you go up to Michael Krause's, you go to different places and you're ministering, you know, don't pretend to be or don't try to be like me or Davey or anything. Just be yourself. And you may be in a meeting with a bunch of people and the like, and, you know, they're talking all high and lofty or doing whatever, and you'll say a very simple thing, just a very simple, common, kind of homely wisdom thing. And you know what the people will walk out remembering? The one thing you said, and all the other stuff will be gone. It's not about how many words. It's not about how articulate you are, or how this or how that. It's about the Lord. And he will use you. And that's amazing. And it's hopeful. So look, what I encourage everybody to do is go get alone between yourself and the Lord and humble yourself and repent of him not being Lord of every aspect of your life. And get to the place where you say, look, Lord, man, I don't care what it's going to be. I don't care how it's going to take it. I don't care what changes you're going to have to make. I don't want my life. I want yours. I want yours and only yours. I don't want anything else. And if you will do that and you will stay, hang in there in that, the Lord will bring that to pass. The scripture says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. If you want to be the perfect man, if you want to be one with him, if you want to be a person who has given up their life and is lifting Jesus up and has a robust ministry, commit your way unto him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a few more songs, and then maybe I'll pray at the end. And may the Lord bless you, folks. It's good to be back here. Appreciate your prayers while I was on the road and on the way back. And may the Lord bless you. Father, we thank you very much for this opportunity to join together tonight in your word and in your presence. And Lord, I know that the trip I took was a trip not of judgment, but a trip of an extension of grace, of your amazing grace. And I hope that every single one who I came into contact with on that trip, that you will show them in a way that they can understand that that's what it was. And that you're pouring out grace among us. The purpose of that grace, I know, Lord, is that we will choose you. That the things of the past, we will let them fall away, and we will choose and cleave unto you and become one with you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would move mightily in and through the hearts and minds of each and every one who receives this message to quicken to them that they too are called to be one with you, and that you are not only well able, but desirous of bringing that to pass in their lives. And Lord, we just submit ourselves unto you right now to that end. And Lord, that you would forgive us our doubt and unbelief and selfishness. And by the power of your Spirit, incline our hearts and minds to leave that old life behind and to press into your life and to truly lift you up in our lives, that you may draw men unto us, that we can minister unto them as you would minister unto them. And we thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.